we spent months reporting that story and kind of doing records requests and trying to get more information about what was being said. Eventually, we got the text messages. After being denied records requests for those text messages, we're able to report on all the messages that the attorney general had sent this woman. We published our story in August. And then since then, you know, one of the kind of remaining unanswered questions was, well, what was known about that misconduct? What was known about that behavior within state government? And when was it known? And what was done about it? And so that was kind of the nature of today's story, was trying to sort that out a bit.
How has the governor's office been responding to your questions and requests about this?
You know, they had been pretty consistent from the start on their position that they were bound by law and were unable to talk about most elements of Clarkson's behavior, and that certain personnel confidentiality rules and HR investigation rules prevent them from talking. And my position, our position, has been that that's not the case. The law pretty plainly states that the head of a department within an executive branch is not subject to the personnel confidentiality rules. And then there's the matter of the HR confidentiality rules. A kind of a key question has always been, well, when did that HR investigation actually begin? And once I was finally able to talk to the woman who'd received the texts, I got a better sense of when she actually was contacted by HR investigators. And it turned out that that didn't happen until 68 days after people in the governor's office became aware that there was a problem.
And then what does the woman say, though, about how the governor's office responded to her? And I guess she actually spoke with the governor about all of this, right?
Yeah. So the woman says that she spoke to her direct supervisor. Her direct supervisor makes Ben Stevens, the chief of staff, aware. And that's back in April. And then there's a little bit of a difference of opinion on when the chief of staff and the woman first spoke, like, in person about it. But she says that it was before June. The chief of staff says that he did not talk to her directly about it until after June or in June. You know, by the end of June, she's had multiple meetings with the chief of staff and she's met with the governor. There was kind of a flurry of meetings. And then on June 11th, you know, remember this text message telling Clarkson to knock it off went out April 4th. So fast forward 2 months to June 11th, that's when the governor's office says that they contacted HR to investigate the complaint.
Where does this go from here? Is this what we remember about it, you know, that they didn't respond very quickly, it seems like, to her?
The next steps, like from a practical standpoint, would be either the state employee, who now has a different job within state government, signs the settlement agreement or not. If not, then, you know, it remains to be seen what happens there, if there's like litigation or not. My interest was more about kind of the unfinished business of better understanding, you know, when did people in charge know about this issue and what did they do about it? By this week, I feel like they did answer some questions. I mean, it took a long time to get there. I think this process has revealed some things, some problems with public records law in Alaska. It'd be interesting to see if anybody looks at that, you know, amending that law. And I think there's a case to be made, and we kind of made it during the reporting, that, well, when you're talking about the Attorney General of Alaska, right, who is head of all criminal and civil litigation, is the head of his department, is therefore exempt, you know, arguably from personnel confidentiality rules, and you don't have an HR investigation that begins until a couple months after his actions, you know, his misconduct, that most of that information is public. I mean, that's kind of been our position throughout the reporting. And the AG is confirmed by the legislature, right? So like the fact that the legislature confirms the attorney general also suggests that they have some oversight role and ought to have access to information about his misconduct.